and disappointments of my life surround, and cause my heart to fear what lies before. Within God's word my trembling spirit hides. I learn to trust his wisdom more and more.
God's word my guide, my leadership within. Ordain my steps to follow in your way. Return me once again to walk by faith and rest within your truth from day to day. I may not understand God's ways for me, but this I know, his word will never fail. And when life's trials seem too hard to bear, I know that through it all God will prevail. God's word, my guide, my leadership within. Ordain my steps to follow in your way. Return me once again to walk by faith and rest within your truth from day to day.
God's word illumines every step I take. Securely it surrounds me in his love. With comfort brightens feeble paths of fear, reminding me of better things above.
God's word, my guide, my leadership within. Ordain my steps to follow in your way. Return me once again to walk by faith and rest within your truth from day to day. God's word, my guide, my leadership within. Ordain my steps to follow in your way. Return me once again to walk by faith and rest within your truth from day to day. And rest within your truth from day to day.
Song about the Word of God. Amen. Good song tonight. While we're getting set here, I'd like to ask the men who are going to serve the Lord's Supper tonight to go ahead and come and take your seats here on the front. I'm not preaching a message like we normally would. I am looking forward to the time of fellowship over in the gymnasium. That's a little bit different for us and unusual. Usually we take time to have a full length. Well, not a full length, but at least a half of a message, and then go right into the observance of the Lord's table. But I'm just going to talk for a few minutes here about the purpose of this. And I think they have some different games, ping pong and foosball, and I make no apology for that. Fellowship for a church is vitally important. So if you can stay, I hope that you will, and we'll have a good time. But I don't want to minimize the importance of what we're doing right now. This fellowship around this table supersedes the fellowship around that table over there that we'll enjoy in just a little bit. If you have your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, very familiar verses. And so, Heavenly Father, we come now to this time, this vitally important time. Thank you for leaving us, the local church, with this ordinance. Help us tonight as we now set aside this time. Help us to take full advantage of it. Lord, may we be disciplined enough to put aside the cares of this world, the concerns for tomorrow, the troubles from yesterday, those things that wait us when we get in the car and head back home. I pray you'd help us to put all that aside. And even the fellowship that we'll have across the way in just a little bit. Lord, help us to concentrate tonight and fulfill the purpose of this ordinance. So sanctify this time for your honor and your glory and for your good. We'll thank you in Jesus' name and amen. The Lord Jesus left two ordinances to the local church. The ordinances were left to the church. Baptism, which is identification with Jesus, and then the Lord's Supper, which is to remember Jesus. And these ordinances are not just left for people to just go out and do on their own. They were left to the local church. When I was in Bible college, when you're 19 and 20 and you're all fired up, you know, to do something for the Lord, and you're getting pumped every day, man, do something for the Lord. Sometimes what you do for the Lord is a little off the rails. And so Steve, Barney, and I, we had 12 buses in our division. And do you bus mechanics think it's bad here when one or two don't pass? In 1 week, we lost half of our buses. So we had 12 routes and 6 buses. That meant that 2 routes had to work together on one bus to get everybody to the church. And Steve, Barney, and I, our routes bordered each other there in Chicago. And, you know, we were losing. It was the spring of the year. We were losing Catholic kids to confirmation. And so we decided we would have the Lord's Supper on the bus. And so I hate to tell you all this, but he dressed up in a priest garb. He put on a robe, had a priest garb on, and we sang songs about confirmation and all that stuff. And we passed out bread. We had the Lord's Supper. We passed out juice on the bus. We thought it was a wonderful thing. The bus was full, and the end always justifies the means, right? And then about 2 Sundays later, Dr. House was giving announcements. He said, "Listen closely. There will be no more Lord's Supper services held on buses." I mean, how many bus routes did we have in those days? And I don't know how in the world he found out, but I know Lewis Nelms was baptizing people in Chicago and some borrowed baptistry. No more Lord's Supper on the buses, no more baptizing at borrowed baptistries. And so we got the word, no more of that. But it's left to the local church. Left to the local church. And so, of course, the baptism, the ordinance of baptism, identification with Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. The very mode of Bible baptism pictures his death, his burial, his resurrection. I don't have to belabor that point with you. The very mode of the baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. We don't have to guess at the purpose for the Lord's Supper. He gave it twice, once in verse 24, once in verse 25. Paul said in verse 23, "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you.'" Here's the purpose: "This do in remembrance of me." This wasn't a potluck. That's part of what the Corinthian church had turned it into. Part of what Paul had to write and correct them about. They were having a potluck feast, and the rich had plenty to eat, and the poor had nothing to eat, and Paul reprimanded them. And there's a verse toward the end of the chapter, very end, verse 34, "If any man hunger, let him eat at home." And some people take that to mean that the church shouldn't have a kitchen. It's not what he's saying. He's saying the Lord's Supper is not a time for a potluck dinner and feasting. The Lord's Supper is a time to come and pass the bread, the unleavened bread, which represents the body of the Lord Jesus, and the unfermented cup, which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Leaven in the Bible is a type of sin. The bread was unleavened because the body of Jesus had no sin. fermented grape juice became wine, alcoholic, strong wine. Rotted wine, a process of fermentation. The blood of Jesus Christ was sinless. And so we serve just the fresh fruit of the vine here for the juice. He said the same thing in verse 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so we're to remember Jesus specifically. We're not to remember the fact that he took five pieces of bread and two pieces of fish and fed, 15,000 people. We're not to remember that he healed blind men, made lame men walk, even raised dead men back to life. Those are wonderful things, miraculous things, but we're not supposed to remember that. We're supposed to remember the sacrifice of his body and his blood on Calvary. To be honest, folks, you know this, but the miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 really didn't do anything toward our salvation. The healing of blind men and lame men, raising dead men back to life, those miraculous things, but that didn't do anything for our salvation. But when Jesus died on that cross by the shedding of his blood, that tore the veil in twain. From top to bottom in that temple, most people feel about 15 feet probably, tore it from top to bottom, showing that the way to the presence of God is made possible through the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The body that bore our sins to the tree, and the blood that was shed to pay the price for our sin, paved the way for you and I to be saved. That's what we're supposed to remember tonight, the sacrifice of Christ. And when you think about the sacrifice of Christ, it's not that little picture on somebody's wall with a little trickle of blood here and here and in the feet. No, we're talking about an annihilated body, a body that was torn to shreds. Brother Danny and I were going somewhere the other day, just this past week, driving down the road. And we had to, in the middle of the road, as we saw down ahead of us, there's this splotch. You can see blood. You can see bone. You can see sinew. And I had to slow down and pull off a little bit on this just to kind of, so I wouldn't run through it. And when we passed it, neither one of us knew what it was. Was it a deer? Was it a large dog? We couldn't tell. Its visage was marred. Does that make sense to you? Its visage was marred. We couldn't identify it. And Isaiah said that very thing was true about the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. His visage was marred. A piece of torn flesh. What kind of flesh? I guess identified by the superscription that Pilate had put at the top of the cross. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That's the sacrifice that Christ paid so that you and I could have eternal life in heaven and avoid eternal death in hell. That is the specific purpose of this supper, to draw us close to the sacrifice of Christ. So, in just a few minutes, when we pass the bread that pictures the body of the Lord Jesus, if you're a born-again child of God, you should sit quietly. You should not be thinking about the ball game. You should not be thinking about being in school tomorrow. Or you men have issues at work that you know are waiting on your desk when you get there tomorrow. All that should be put aside. Ladies, the different things that are going on in your life, all those things should be laid aside. And we should think on the fact and make it personal that Jesus took my sin and his own body to that cross. That's what we're supposed to think about and remember. And when we pass the juice, we're supposed to think about the fact and remember that it was by the shedding of blood that that people can find remission for their sin. Apart from that, there is no salvation. None. Zero. And so tonight, the ordinance of the Lord's table is for you and me to remember his sacrifice. So what we're going to do here is just take a moment with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. It's a good time for us to examine our hearts, as he says here in verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And as the ladies come to prepare for the passing of the elements tonight, get ready to play the instruments, you take a minute there in your seat and you speak with the Lord. Make sure your heart is prepared for this very, very special time. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're not born again, if you're not saved, if you've not come to God yet by the way of the cross, she's playing that good old invitation hymn, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Just come through the cross. Come through Christ. If you're not saved, you don't take these elements, the bread and the juice, to earn salvation. That's not how it works. You have to come to Christ by faith. Talk to one of us afterwards. We'd love to have the opportunity to talk with you about the most important matter in life, and that is the salvation of your soul. Child of God, you are saved. Don't forget how you came to Christ. You came to Him just as I am, through His body and His blood. Draw nigh, draw near. Hold fast the profession of your faith, the writer of Hebrews said, without wavering. Consider and think on that time tonight when the Lord saved you. Father, bless us, please. Thank you for this special ordinance. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll ask the men in just a moment to take the bread that represents the sinless body of Christ and pass it here at the church. If you are a member of a church of like faith and practice, you're in good fellowship with the Lord. You're invited to take the part in the table with us. And we just take a piece of bread. The ladies will play. The men will pass the plates. Toward the end, we'll probably sing a little bit. And just to spend the time remembering that His body bore our sins to the cross. That body that was so marred, you couldn't tell it was a man. And you think on that tonight. We'll ask the men to pass the bread. Thank you. They're playing the words to Psalm 328. If you don't know the words to Lead Me to Calvary, 328 in your book. We'll sing a couple of verses as we finish this part. King of my life, I crown thee now. Sing it with me. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn crown brow. Lead me to Calvary. Forget Gethsemane, and lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Verse 2 together, ready? Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guarded thee whilst thou slept. Lest I forget thine money, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. If you were saved as a very young child, it may not be as easy to remember if you were saved later in life at all. Remember how lost you were without hope and without God in the world. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, dead. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's how we lived. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What a blessing that the Lord Jesus took our sins in his own body to the cross. Johansson, would you stand, please, sir, and just thank the Lord Jesus for taking our sins in his body to the cross, please.
Heavenly Father, take this time tonight to remember the body that was broken for us in the cross, God. Never want to take that for granted, the sacrifice that you made, Heavenly Father, for us. I pray now as we remember this time, we would take the time often to remember this.
Amen. And Jesus went on to say that the cup would be passed in the same manner. And this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. So we're supposed to remember that mangled body. And we're supposed to remember that bloody body. That bloody, bloody sacrifice was not a pleasant scene, folks. Not at all. It was a massacre of a body. And that's what the Lord Jesus did until he shed every drop of blood for our redemption. We'll ask the men to pass the cup, which pictures the body of the Lord, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. They're playing page 246 if you don't need the words, but if you do, 246, that beautiful old song. Thank God for it. There is a fountain filled with blood. We're singing tonight. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. It was a great church in the 70s, pastored by Curtis Hudson, who later became the editor of The Sword of the Lord. He got cancer. Actually went to heaven fairly early, I think at the age of 61, if I remember right. That's early. And went through the treatments and everything, and when it was just pretty well figured out that everything had been done that could be done and he wasn't getting any better, he spoke one last time at the Sword of the Lord conference there at Brother Robertson's church in Walkertown, North Carolina. He said he was talking about dying. And he said, I told my family where I'm going to be buried. And he said, if you put any kind of a tombstone there, I want you to put the third verse of the fourth verse of There Is a Fountain on the stone. Ere since by faith I saw the stream, thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. And I stood at that gravesite some years ago. And on one side was his birth and death and the things, and then another side was the plan of salvation. He wrote it. I forget what's on the third side, but on the fourth side, the other side, is this verse. Ere since by faith. Let's sing verse 4 together. Ere since by faith I saw the stream thy flowing wounds supply, redeeming love has been my theme and shall be till I die. Sing it out, church. And shall till I die, and shall be till I die. Redeeming love has been my theme, and shall be till I die. That may happen to you and me. We may die before the rapture. But that's not the end of the story. Because he's laid in that tomb. And 3 days and 3 nights later, he walked out. And that's what that last stanza is all about. If you closed your book, 246. Then in a nobler, sweeter song. Can you imagine us standing around the throne of heaven, possibly singing, there is a fountain filled with blood. I don't know if it'll be there is a fountain, but if they have request time, I'm going to request that one, amen. Let's sing that last stanza then in a nobler. Then in a nobler and sweeter song, I'll sing thy power to save. Oh, and this poor lisping and stammering tongue, lies side, amen. Oh, that'll be good. Yes, lies silent in the grave. Lies silent in the grave. Oh, and this poor lisping grave. Brother Ed Bragg, so good to have you in the service tonight. Usually you're out preaching, but would you thank the Lord Jesus for shedding his blood? Yes. And amen. And amen. We need to collect these cups. So, fellas, if you'll come, and Brother Allen, come be ready in just a moment to say a word. Let's sing the page, the song right across the page there. Saved by the blood of the crucified one. Let's stand together. It's 247. Let's sing a verse of this while they take up the cups. And then you can help down there, Brother Mike, and sing it out together now. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, now ransomed from sin. Praise to the Father and praise to the Son. Saved by the blood of the crucified one, save my sins are all pardoned, my guilt is all gone. Saved, I'm saved by the blood of the crucified one. Brother Allen's going to come with instrument instructions for